Today's daf is Erchin Daf Kavchet. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the top of the page. It's kind of a nice thing. We start at the Mishnah at the top. We end of the Mishnah at the bottom of the page. Today's daf is kind of nice and closed. Okay. Machrim Adam mitzono umibkaro umeavadav umishepchotav aknanim umisteach huzato. Okay, these are the following items that a person can be machrim. What does it mean, machrim? It's a type of consecration where you consecrate items. We're going to learn about the differences between something that's consecrated versus, or muhram, versus something that's mukdash. Okay, until now, we've been talking about someone who is makdish, something. Until now, we basically learned somebody's makdish. What does it mean? It means that you meant the value of it's going to the Beit HaMikdash, and then either you let the item be part of the Beit HaMikdash, or you redeem it. You basically say, oh, I really meant the value. You give the value, and you get the item back. When it comes to cherem, okay, first of all, there's two options of where it could go. Either it goes to Hashem or it goes to the Kohanim. There's a bit of a, well, we'll see. Okay, you can either say it's cherem l'Hashem or you could say it's cherem l'Kohanim. What if you didn't say anything specific, then where does it go? Okay, there's a bit of an issue. I'll kind of read the psukim now so you see. First of all, it's listed in the Matnot Kuna. Kol cherem b'Yisrael l'chayiyeh. It should be for you, the Kohanim. And then it also says, that's in Bamidbar Yudchet Yudalid, and in Bayikra Kavzayin Kavchet it says, Ach kol cherem asher yecharam ish lahashem mikol asher lo. Notice it says lahashem. Okay, so far that didn't really say anything yet. Then it says, Me'adam ubehema umisteach huzato. Okay, from person, your animals, or your fields. Notice it says stay specifically, stay achuza, your ancestral property. Lo imacher velo yigael. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Kocherim kodesh kodeshim hu lahashem. It's kodesh kodeshim lahashem. So on the one hand we say it's lahashem, on the other hand we say it's to the kohanim. So again, there's two maslulim, two tracks. You can either give it to Hashem or the kohanim. What if you didn't specify where does it go? Obviously, there's going to be a machloket. Okay, where the stam cherim goes. So now the first issue is what items can you be machrim? So it has to be, we're going to see something that is owned by you. Okay, we'll talk about it, and that can be sold theoretically. We'll see exactly the differences soon. So from Ritzon, Ubakar, Avadim, or Shvachot, Knaanim, not Eved Ivri, because an Eved Ivri is like a worker, he is not owned by you, but an Eved Knaani, a non-Jewish Eved, who basically, right, comes into your house, you give him Brit Milah, he's basically part of your household. And from your Steh Achuza, as opposed to your Steh Mikneh. Why not your Steh Mikneh? Because you don't really own your Steh Mikneh, you only own it temporarily, it's like you're leasing it, basically. So now, what do we say? These things, you could be machrim. Ve'im hichrim et kulam, einam muchramim, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. If you're machrim, each one in its entirety, all your avadim kananim. Okay, so there's a big difference between that. Remember we talked about those cases which we thought were strange? Someone would be matish all of his possessions. Seems a little weird. Well, when it came to Hekdesh, we said that works. When it comes to cherem, we can't do it. We're going to see where they learn that from the psukim soon. And not only that you're not allowed to do it, but even if you did do it, they're not muhramim. Now, in the Tosefta, if you notice, it says Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah comes. It's not so clear Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, because he seems to be talking about something different, although later the Gemara is going to kind of say they do disagree. But some people say, because it says Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, it's clear there's a machloket here. And if you, in fact, look in the Tosefta, Chachamim disagree and say, while you can't be machrim them in their entirety, each of these categories, however, if you did do it anyway, it's effective. So there is a machloket about whether it's effective or whether it's not effective. Again, Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah says it's not. And the other thing I just want to bring up right now, which we'll get to later, which is, it's said in the Pasuk, I kind of glossed over, but lo yimacher velo yigael. These cannot be redeemed. Basically, it's a gift that you gave either to Kohanim or to the Beit HaKavayim, and you can't get it back. Which explains this part, which is, why do we discourage you from being machrim the thing, you know, everything in its entirety? Because you might need them, and you can't get them back. Okay, when it comes to being makdish all your nechassim, so theoretically you could get them back. Okay, you could buy them back. It's a little bit of a problem if you're machrim everything because you have no money left to get it back. But theoretically, you could get items back. In this case, you can't get them back, and therefore seems connected to the fact that we don't allow you to do it. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Here's an interesting thing that comes out of this. Maim legavoa ein adam rashai lachrim kol nechassav. If you can't be machrim all your possessions to gavoa, to the Beit HaMikdash, al acha kama, or to the kohanim, al acha kama v'kama shehe adam chasal nechasav. All the more so, you shouldn't give all of your possessions to a head yoke, to a regular person. What's he obviously talking about? Tzedaka. In other words, don't give away all your money to tzedaka. Okay? Because if you give away all your money to tzedaka, what will happen? Well, you're going to end up needing tzedaka. So, you know, you can be very generous, but to a certain limit. Okay? Don't go so far as to give away all your possessions, just like, so he's basically saying, the fact that the Torah teaches us, even though it doesn't say so explicitly, we're going to see where from the Torah we get this, Torah teaches us, don't be machrim everything to God. Also, don't be machrim at all to poor people. Where do we get this from? Ditanu Rabbanan, okay, where do we get what from? The fact that you can be machrim the following items, but you can't do it in their entirety. So the pasuk says, okay, remember the pasuk. Ish achkocher mashe charam ish lashem. So it has four things here. One, mikol asher lo. Two, me'adam. Three, ubehema. Four, umisteh huzato. Notice, three of them start with the letter mem. Mikol asher lo, me'adam, misteh huzato. The behema doesn't have a mem, but our version of the braita is going to say as if the behema does have a mem. The Masoret HaShas says that the Korban Aharon didn't have that one line, the Darshan Dipper Mi Behema, okay? But, right, well, unclear what to do with this exactly, but let's just read it as that. So, the Braita starts off, Mi Kol Asher Lo, if you remember, every time there's a mem, what does a mem mean? From, but not in its entirety. So there you get it. From Kol Asher Lo, Velo Kol Asher Lo, but not all of it, just from. Me adam velo kol adam, not all people. Mi behema, here's the problem because it doesn't actually say that. Velo kol behema. The best way to explain this is mi kol me adam. It obviously meant umi behema, even though it didn't exactly say so explicitly. Mi steachuza velo kol steachuza. Okay, even if you say what I just said, it's still a bit of a problem. Why did the mem appear in three places and not in one? But okay, we're not going to deal with that because the Gemara isn't interested in that. So yachol lo yachrim bi imichrim yu muchramim. You could say you can't do it, but if you did it anyway, it would be effective. Talmud Lomar, ach. Where do we learn that it's not effective? Because the pasuk starts off with the word ach. Ach comes always to say, you know, to limit. Okay, so we're limiting this. It only works if you do it the way you're supposed to do it. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now we're just quoting his opinion, but we're moving right on. This is just part of the Braita, just like it's part of our Mishnah. Ma'im legavoa en adam rashai la'achrim kol nechasav. Alacha kama v'kama she adam chas al nechasav. Right, just like you can't be machrim legavoa to God or to the kohanim all your possessions, all the more so you have to not give it to a regular person. Okay. Now we'll get back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at the end, but right now we're going to go back to why you needed all four things. We call it shalom, me adam, me beima, and me stechuzato. You could have just had one or two, right? You could have learned them all. So itzrich. Okay, now utzricha. So the Gemara starts off utzricha. We need all these cases. Why? Tiikat avrachmana mikol asher lo hava amina kol diitle lo lichrim ava mina chad lichrimei kulei. If it just said mikol asher lo, what would you assume then? You can't be machrim everything you have, but theoretically you could be machrim all of your tzon, all of your bakar, all of your slaves, all of your, right? You could be, each of these would be in their own category. Theoretically, you could do them in their entirety. Therefore, right, because we call a shalom, it just indicate you can't do everything. But within one mean you could. So comes to teach you. Okay, so therefore, katavachmana me'adam velo kol adam, to teach you, each category by itself, you can't do in its entirety. You can't do all your slaves, even if you did nothing else. Be katavachmana me'adam. Okay, so that's why we needed adam, because we're going in order of the pasuk. But what's the difference? If you just had adam and mikol asher lo, what might you have thought? Delo sagile velo avodah. A person can't function without slaves. It's an interesting theory, right? And people do manage without slaves, but right, they say, okay, how are you going to work your field if you don't have slaves? So we can understand why the Torah would say, don't put all your, you know, say cherem to all your slaves. Aval sadeh sagile bedisteron. Now wait, what about a field? You need a field, otherwise you can't eat. But wait, there's another way to do a field. What could you do? You don't need to have your own field in order to have food to eat. You could work ba'arisut, we call it, right, sharecropper. You could be a sharecropper in someone else's field. So there's a way for you to have access to a field and possessions, right? Because what would happen? You work the field, you'd get, let's say, a third or whatever proportion. You work out with the owner, and then you'd have what to eat. So you can manage without actually owning. So maybe you'd be able to give all your fields to Cheren. Now there's a different girsa. Okay, v'yesh me'inan, and this would depend on whether Behemaz says mi Behemah or not. So, yesh me'inan, oh no, actually this doesn't have to do with Behemah. Okay, sorry. So if you look in the Masoret HaShas, he adds the words, v'yesh me'inan sadeh mishum dechiyuta. Now, what if you just have field and not Adam? So what would you say? Well, a field you need to survive. It's food. Aval Adam, sagile b'shama ba'ama, but you don't actually need slaves. This is what we would have thought originally, right? You can just hire a day worker. So, right, shama is a shamash, right? It's a day worker. Okay. So that's why you need sadeh and adam, because either one could make a claim, you can't live without that, or you can live without the other one, or you can make the reverse argument. But yesh me'inan hane tarte, what if you have both of those? Mishum dehachachiyuta behachachiyuta. Aval metaltalin licharminu kulu. You might have said, right, this you need to survive and that you need to survive. Okay, fine. We already said the field you can't live without. The slaves you can't live without, according to one of our theories, right? But metaltalin, but, you know, movable items are not as important. So maybe you could actually be machrim all your movable items. Therefore, it says, mikol asher lo. To teach you, you can't be machrim all of those. Ubehema alamali. So now what do we need the behema for? Lechidatan, for the following brayta. Yachol yachrim adam bito bino ubito. You might have thought that a person, and we're going to see this in the next Mishnah, could be machrim, his son, his daughter, avdov shechpato ha'ivriim, his Jewish slaves, okay, which are not in the same category. What's the difference? They're not owned by him. Likewise, children are not owned by their parents, even though parents might sometimes claim that. Uste miknato, and a field that you purchased but you have to return in the yovel year, you might have thought you could be machrim the following items. Tamud lomar behema. Dafka, the word behema is not coming. This, by the way, makes sense with the, it's not me behema, it's coming to teach something else. That behema itself is coming to teach you ma behema yesh lo reshut l'mochra av koshe yesh lo reshut l'mochra. What's unique about an animal? You can sell it. You have rights to sell it. Therefore, it's only going to apply to things that you have the rights to sell. But hello, but here comes the question. Remember, a young child, a young girl can be sold to be a maidservant, right? If she and an ama ivriya, if the husband, the father doesn't have money, what does he do? He sells her, and the hope is that the slave master will marry her, or marry her off to the son. We saw this the other day, called Ye'ud. And if not, then she goes free when she gets to a certain age, right? There's only a small window in which he can, right? There's a few years window when she's, you know, old enough to be sold, but young enough to, you know, also to be sold. Not when she's a bogeret, she can't be sold. So he has reshut to sell her. So maybe you would think, Yachol Yachrimena, maybe he could also, you know, dedicate her to the Beit HaMikdash in this chera manner. Talmud Lomar, Behema. Therefore, we learn Behema. What does that teach you? Ma Behema, yesh lo reshut l'machra la'olam, av kol sheyesh lo reshut l'machra la'olam. An animal can be sold at any time, and she, there's only a small window in which you can sell her. Therefore, she's not allowed to be muchlemet. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, im l'gavoyen adam rashai v'chule. So now we get to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they say, Hainu Tanakama, really, they seem to be saying the same thing. It's not, he doesn't disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and the Mishnah is set up in a way, Divrei Rabbi Elazar Eliezer, right? He says one thing, and then comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It sounds like they disagree. So the Gemara says, in fact, they do disagree. They disagree about something. Ika Beinayu, the difference between them is Divrei Rabbi Ila. It's what Rabbi Ila said. They would disagree about whether they agree with him or don't. To Amar Rabbi Ila B'Usha, remember what Usha was? That was one of the places where the Sanhedrin went after it left Yerushalayim. So in Usha, he made the following takana. If you're going to, right, interesting, they call this levazbez. If you're going to throw away your money to tzedakah, don't give more than a fifth, right? Generally, we say maaser, a tenth. But if you're going to give away your money, don't give away more than a fifth. Where do they learn this from? Yaakov. If you remember Yaakov, when he gets to the sulam, right, and he promises God, he says, aser asrenu, which is a double lashon of maaser. So they say a tenth and another tenth. Okay, which ends up a fifth. So they say, you can't give away more than a fifth. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree with him, because that's what he says, don't give away too much of your money. And Rabbi Elazar, who doesn't say that, would disagree with him and say, oh, there's no limit to how much money one could give away to tzedakah. There was a case where there was a person who tried to give away more than a fifth of his possessions to tzedakah, and his friends wouldn't let him. Okay, the assumption of his friends, and we're going to see this right now, is the rabbis. Umanu, Rabbi Yeshvav. We see that they call chaver a rabbi, right? They term a rabbi as a chaver, or a chacham as a chaver in different places. And who was this who stopped him? Rabbi Yeshvav. The Amrele, and some people say it was Rabbi Yeshvav who wanted to give away more than a fifth of his possessions. Velohi nicholo chaverav umanu Rabbi Akiva. According to the second version, it's Rabbi Yeshvav who wanted to give away all his money, and Rabbi Akiva stopped him. Okay, so you see this interesting halacha about not giving away all of your possessions, and the concern is that you're going to end up needing tzedakah yourself, and we don't want you to create a situation where you become, right, you shouldn't ever initiate becoming poor. Okay, Mishnah. Hamachrim bino ubito v'avdo v'shifchato ha'ivrim. Okay, now we're getting to the category of people that can't be mochramim. Right, we already saw this in the Braita, but we haven't seen it yet in our Mishnah. Right, this Mishnah stands exactly parallel to the previous one, where it gave the list of all the people you could be machrim. Uste miknato, ein muchramim. The following items are not muchramim. She'ein adam machrim davar she'ein o shelo. The Mishnah says explicitly, these items don't belong to you. You can't put something, can't be machrim, an item that is not yours. Hakoanim v'alevim. Now we're going to talk about, can koanim v'alevim do make something cheren? So we're going to have a machlok at Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shim. Hakoanim v'alevim ein machrimim. According to Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, if they do, they say the following item is cheren, it's not relevant. Rabbi Shimon omer, hakoanim ein machrimim shacharamim shalahen. Well, they can't be machrim because cheren goes to the kohen. But halevim machrimim she'ein acharamim shalahen. But since the Levim don't get the Cherem, doesn't go to them, therefore a Levi can be Machrim. We're going to have to see in the Gemara what the root of the Machloket is. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe comes along now and talks about these two opinions, and what does he say? And the way we're going to understand it now is going to be different than the way the Gemara is going to explain it, but the Pshat sounds like, Nir'im Divrei Rabbi Yehuda B'Karkaot, okay? Seems to be that Rabbi Yehuda, we would paskin, and that's what he says basically, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to karka. Why is that? Shenemar, when it talks about, now what are we talking about with the Levim? We're talking about the Levim took their fields, the Levim didn't really have their own property, but there were these 48 Levim cities, right? There were the 42 plus the 6 Arei Miklat that were given, and I think it's 42 plus the 6. Forget now. So they have, right, it's 48 cities, it's 42 plus the 6 Arei Miklat, and they get not only the city, but all the fields that are around the city, okay? And they are considered for the Levi'im like a Steach Huzah for the Levi'im, and all the more so, they're different from a Steach Huzah in the following manner, that it says, Ki Achuzat Olam Hi Lahem. Okay, these will be for you. Okay, the beginning of the pasuk is, Ustei Migrash Arehem Lo Yimacher. You can't sell them, because they are yours forever. Okay, whereas we learned, a regular Steach Huzah, let's say someone's makdish and they don't redeem it, it goes to the Kohanim. The Sadot of the Levim don't go to the Kohanim. They stay, even if no one redeems them, they stay the Levim's possession forever. So what does he say? Therefore, I would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that the Levim a machrimim, because their fields are theirs forever, and therefore, what's the whole thing? You can't be machrim because you can't redeem it, and it won't be yours anymore. And therefore, I would agree with him about karka, but when it comes to metaltalin, divrei Rabbi Shimon b'metaltalin she'ein acharamim shalahem, because the cherem doesn't go to them, and there's no reason to say the metaltalin should belong to them. And therefore, I would paskin like Rabbi Shimon in that case. Soon, like I said, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand things a little differently, the way Rebbe paskins. The Rabbi Yehuda, bishlama, now we're going to explain their shitot. Bishlama koanim e machrimim shacharim shalahem. Okay, koanim, it's very obvious they can't be machrim because all cherims go to them anyway, even though not all cherims go to them, but let's say half the cherims go to them. Therefore, they can't be machrim. Ela levim, what about the levim? Bishlama mekarke lo mecharme. I understand karka dichtiv, like Rebbe said, ki achuzat olam hi lahem. Ela metaltale licharmu, right? You should be, they should be allowed to be machrim metaltale. So, what do we answer? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, okay, this is the Pasuk, Ach Kol Cherem Asher Yecharam, the one we read before, It says Mikol Asher Lo. If you remember, there was a whole list: Mikol Asher Lo, Me'adam, Me'behema. The first one is Mikol Asher Lo, and the last one is Umisteh Huzato. So what do we say? Right, the Mikol Asher Lo is metaltalin. Steh Huzato is karka. Makish metaltalin the karka ot. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda has this hekesh, right? He makes a hekesh between, hekesh is when two things are in the pasuk together. He's makish metaltalin to karkaot to teach you. I'm putting this on the board because we're going to come back to this at the very end of the daf, and I want you to remember it. We're makish metaltalin to karkaot to teach you that ein machrimim even, right, the levim, ein machrimim even metaltalin. Okay, and we learn that from karka. Okay, so we understand his shita. For Rabbi Shimon, now we're going to have a little difficulty understanding Rabbi Shimon, why he thinks, what's going to be difficult? You could say, fine, he's not machrim metaltalin, but why, why should they be allowed, according to him, he says, the levim can be machrimim, so why can they be machrim karka if we already said karka is supposed to be theirs forever? So, Rabbi Shimon, Bishlam HaKohanim Kedamaram. We understand why they can't be Machrim, because the Chirim goes to them. Ela Leviim, Bishlam HaMetaltalim Lachrim. We understand Metaltalim, yes, you could be Machrim, Delo Makish. Because Rabbi Shimon will just say very simply, Ein Hekesh, right? Just because two things are next to each other in the pasuk doesn't mean we should learn one from the other. But, Ela Mekarke Amai. But why does he think that Mekarkeim, they can be Machrim? Hare achuzat olam ilayim, it says. So, what do they answer? My machrimim nami tekamar mitaltale. When Rabbi Shimon says, okay, look at his words. Rabbi Shimon said, hakonim ein machrimim shacharimim shalahem, valevim machrimim she'en acharimim shalahem. What does he mean, machrimim? Oh, he actually doesn't mean karka. He only means mitaltalin. That's how we resolve it. That sounds very nice, except we have a big problem with Rebbe, and this is why we're going to have to reinterpret Rebbe. What did Rebbe say? I'm going to pass it like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Karka, and I'm going to pass it like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Metaltalin, which sounds like what? Like Rabbi Shimon thinks, across the board, you can be Machrim. It's just that we paskin like him only in this case. But if we paskin like him only in this case, it must be that he thinks across the board, though. So, Bahami de Katani Seifa, I'm a Rebbe. Nir'im de Rebbe Yehuda ben Makarke, but Dever Rabbi Shimon Metaltalin, Michla, from there one can infer that what? De Rabbi Shimon Makarke, Nami Kamra. The Rabbi Shimon said both. It's just that we're going to only paskin like him in this case. Because if we were going to paskin, otherwise, what would he simply say? We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. If Rabbi Shimon said, Karka, they can't be Machrim, but Metaltalin, yes. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon paskin. He would just say, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So, what do we answer? Hachi kamar. This is really what Rebbe meant to say. I'm a Rebbe. Nir'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda li Rabbi Shimon bekarkaot. Okay, what he really meant to say was, Rabbi Shimon would agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to karka. Sha'af Rabbi Shimon lo nechlach alav ela b'mitaltalin. He only disagrees with him when it comes to metaltalin. It's not that Rebbe was saying, I passed on like Rabbi Yehuda in this case and Rabbi Shimon in that case. He's saying Rabbi Shimon would agree, even though Rabbi Shimon just said very simply, machrimim, what he really meant, Rabbi Shimon really meant, I agree that machrimim metaltalin, not in karka'ot, because I disagree with you about the hekesh. But obviously I agree with you in karka, and then the psak ends up the same. It's just a matter of how he got to there from Rabbi Shimon, and from there we see that Rabbi Shimon in fact thinks that levim can't be machrim karka because ki achuzat lahem, ki achuzat olam hi lahem, right? Because they get it forever, can't possibly be that they're machrim. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, hichrim metaltalin notnam lekol kohen sheyirtze. Now we get into an issue that we saw in the past. If you're machrim metaltalin, so now you're supposed to give it to the kohen. Are you allowed to choose which kohen you give it to? Or do you have to give it to, what would it be, right? Whichever kohen who's got the mishmar that week. So it says here, right, just like the kohenim that are on the mishmar get the meat that week and whatever, the lechem apanim, maybe this also they should get it. So what do they say? If you're machrim metaltalin, you can give it to whatever kohen you want. Okay, we saw that we distinguished in the past between different matnot kohuna, whether you could choose or not choose. So here we say, if it's metaltalin, you can choose whichever kohen you want to give it to. How do we know this? Shenemar, kocherim b'Yisrael lecha yihyeh, will be for you, which means you, meaning any kohen. But ichrim stotav, if you're machrim your field, notnan lekohen shebo tom mishmar. That has to be given. Your fields are given to whichever kohen is in that mishmar. How do we know this? Shenemar, and now we're going to go back to, we made mention of this previously, when we talked about if you're machdish the field, what did we say? In the Yovel year, who does it go to? Right, if you're machdish and you're not podia, it goes to the Kohanim. To which Kohanim? The Kohanim of that Mishmar. Now we're going to see the source for it. Okay, we didn't see the source for it. It didn't even say in the Gemara, just the Mefreshim said this. But now we're going to see where. Shenemar, okay, here's the pasuk in the machdish Ste'achuzah case. We're going back to the previous sugya. Okay, now what does it say here? It connects between the field that you didn't, right, you forgot, you didn't redeem, and no one else redeemed. What happens to it? Right, when the Yovel year comes, it becomes Kodesh LaHashem. And what happens to it? It's like a stecherem. Okay, so here we have the comparison. We have someone who's makdish se'achuzah is like a stecherem. La kohen tiachuzato. It goes to the kohen. Now notice it hasn't yet told you that which kohen it goes to, right? Okay, but it does say it goes to the kohen and it makes this comparison. So now they're going to say, Shenemar ki se'acherem la kohen tiachuzato. Vigamar la kohen migezel ager. We're going to do a gzera shava from this pasuk. In the stecher, right? This pasuk says, again, it says, a makdish se'achuzah, right, who didn't redeem, his halacha is like the halacha of a stecherem, okay? Which, what's the halacha there? It goes lakohen, and we're going to take that lakohen and learn from there to another place where the word lakohen appears. What's that case? Gezel hager. What is gezel hager? Somebody steals, okay, here's a just halacha about anybody who steals. Somebody steals an item, and then he swears that he didn't steal it, and it turns out he was lying. What does he have to do? He has to bring an asham gzelot, korban asham, and he also has to return the item he stole plus an additional fifth. So now, what happens if the person is no longer alive? So the person who he stole from, he has to return the money, the stolen property. What if the person dies? So in Bamidbar Hei Pasuk Chet, it says, Vim ein la'ish go'el la'hashiv ha'asham elav. The person doesn't have... Okay, now, obviously, if the person dies, so we give it, not to him, but to his heirs, okay? Which could be his children. If he doesn't have children, it goes up to his father, his brother's children, right? I mean, there's always some sort of a relative. So, im ein la'ish go'el la'hashiv ha'asham elav. But what if the person has absolutely no relatives? Hashama mushav la'ashem la'kohen. Okay, so what does he do? It goes la'kohen. Now, who is a person who has no relatives? A ger. Okay, because a ger, when he's mitgayer, remember he's like a katan shenolad. Therefore, anyone who was his relative is no longer his relative. And if he doesn't have his own children, once he was mitgayer, well then, he doesn't have any heirs. So therefore, they say, in gezel ager, it goes to the kohen. There it says la'kohen. Which Kohen does it go to? Well, we're going to learn in a minute. Let me just read you the end of the Pasuk, and then we'll see how we learn it. Milvad ela kipurim, in addition to the, not only does he have to bring it to the Kohen, but in addition to the el kipurim, to the korban hasham that he's supposed to bring, asher yichaper bo'alav, that's going to atone for him. So, what's the Braita going to say here? So we're going to learn from Gezel Ager. So now, in a Gezel Ager, it's obvious now. Where does it go? It goes to the Kohen that was Bo'oto Mishmar. We don't yet know why. Now they're going to ask, V'hata minalan, how do you know that Gezel Ager goes? Right, what's the issue? Gezel Ager, it goes to the Kohen that was in that Mishmar. From there we learn to the Stecherem that it goes to the Kohen that was from the Bo'oto Mishmar. And from there we learn to the Ste'achuzah also, Amak Ste'achuzah goes to the Kohen Bo'oto Mishmar. That's not what interests us right now, but since we learned it the other day, now you see the source for it. Because again, it says in that verse, right, that goes la kohen. And since there la kohen, here la kohen, and that's how we get.
I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah.
If this is all hakdashot or haramot to Hashem,
yeah,
then what goes to Hashem? The value?
No, so like I said, with cherem, there's two tracks. You can give a cherem that goes to Hashem, and you can give a cherem that goes to the Kohen. We're obviously talking
Hashem
here
about a
Hashem means the cherem goes to the Bet HaKabayit, and to the Kohen means it goes to the Kohen. Okay?
So I know here we're talking about one.
We didn't yet get to, which we're going to get to, what if you say Stam and you didn't specify? Where does it go then? Does it go to Hashem or does it go to the Kohen? But now we're obviously talking about one that would go, that you said is going to the Kohen, or if you hold that Stam goes to a Kohen.
Okay.
Okay?
And if I give my field or my avadim to Bedech HaBayit, they get
so
redeemed eventually, and then the money
no, if it's cherem, it actually doesn't get redeemed. It just means that all that produce can be used in the Beit HaMikdash, I guess, for whatever they need it for. Right. What would they need it for? It's a good question, what they would do with it. But I guess they, right. So I guess they, right. They can't, you can't redeem the field, and they can't sell the field, but all the produce they could sell.
Right, okay.
Right, and then they have
avadim or kelim or something else.
Right, so then they would use them. They would use them in the Beit HaMikdash.
Gezel Ager, we spoke about it in the Bava.
Yeah, we've learned about Gezel Ager a number of times. Yeah, it comes up a lot because it's a classic case where someone doesn't have yorshim. Okay, so now, how does this work? So, Hatamidalam, where do we get Gezel Ager from? That it goes to the Kohen of that Mishmar. Ditanya. So, first of all, there's something strange in that Pasuk. What does it say? La Hashem La Kohen. You give Hashem HaMushab La Hashem La Kohen. It doesn't make sense. Either it goes La Hashem or it goes La Kohen. So what do we say? Kina'o Hashem u'nitano La Kohen. Theoretically, God acquired rights to it, but he gave his rights to the Kohen. Now, which Kohen? Nitano La Kohen sheba'oto mishmar. He gives those rights to the Kohen that was working in the Beit HaMikdash that week. So now they question that, and they say, "Atamer lekohen shabotom mishmar, o eno ela lekohen shirtze." How do you know that it goes to, right? Because like we said, there's different models. There's models where things go to the kohen, kohenim and the mishmar, and there's models of things that go to any kohen you want. Right, remember, it's things that are done in the temple generally, like sacrifices and the lechem apanim, those go to the kohen in the otom mishmar, the minachot, but things that are given as gifts to the kohen, like truma, doesn't necessarily go in the Kohen in the Otom Shmar. So where does Cherem fit in? Okay? Maybe it's theoretically, it's kind of like a Korban because this was really given La Hashem, but the Kohenim are acting, right? It's kind of like a Korban that was given to God, but the Kohenim get rights to it. So anyway, that's not where they learned it from. Where did they learn it from? Drasha on the Pasuk. Kishuhu omer milvad ela kipurim asher yichaper bo alav, right? In addition to the ela kipurim, that someone atones for him. Ah, now we get it. Hare b'kohen shaboto mishmar katub medaber. The pasuk references the kohen is doing the atonement for him. So because of that, we assume which kohen does it go to? The one who did the atonement for him. He gets it. Okay, so that was how we learned this whole thing. Now we're going to go back to our staff huzah. Someone, okay, we're moving out of the sugya b'cherem for a brief moment, and we're talking about the staff huzah. That someone, again, sanctified but didn't redeem, what happens? It goes to the Kohen Shaboto Mishmar. So now they say, okay, Hayotza l'Kohanim b'Yovel. So now what happens? A Sadeh, that comes the Yovel year and nobody had redeemed it. It was sanctified before the Yovel year, comes, kicks in the Yovel year. And now, Notzna l'Mishmar Shepagabo Yovel. We talked about this the other day, it seems strange, right? Whoever is lucky enough to get the first Mishmar of the Yovel year, or we're going to see maybe it's the second Mishmar, to debate. Okay, right now we're going to assume we're talking about on Yom Kippurim, because what does the pasuk say? V'havarta shofar tru'a b'yom ha-shvi'i be'esur l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar b'chol ha-artzachem. On that year, you blow a shofar, and then it says, and then, I don't have it in front of me, the Tanakh, but then it says, v'shav isha l'chuzato, I think of the words in the next pasuk, right? And then everybody goes back to their original property. So it sounds like on the 10th day of the Yovel year, that's when all, so whoever's on that mishmar gets it. Okay? And we learned that from this pasuk. So now they say, Ibayelahu, pagabo b'shabbat mai. What if, now what happens on Shabbat? On Shabbat they switch mishmarot. So who gets it? The mishmar hayotzeh that's finishing their job, or the mishmar nichnas that's starting their job, right? You can see, big fight, right? Who gets it? Amar b'chiyah bar'ami mishmei d'chulpana, or some people say mishmei d'olpana, notna l'mishmar hayotzeh. The ones who are leaving get it. And why is that? I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tanya Namihachi. Says I'm going to bring a brayta to support this. Nimtzet ata omer echad yovel veechad shvi mishamtin keechad ela sheyovel b'tchilata b'hashmita b'sofa. The yovel year and the shmita year both cancel things. What the shmita year cancels all loans. All loans get canceled, and the yovel, all lands go back to their original owners. Now that all happens at the same time. Why is that? Because the Shemitat Ksafim, now how does it work, right? The 49th year is the Shemitah year. The 50th year is the Yovel year. But the Shemitat Ksafim happens at the end of the 49th year. And the Yovel, the property going back, comes in the beginning of the... So it happens all on the same day, basically. once the Shemitah year finishes, b'diyuk on that day is when the Yovel year kicks in. Now, this is a little problematic because we just said Yom Kippur. We're going to get back to this. Yom Kippur is not the first day of the year. It's really Rosh Hashanah. We'll get back to this. But anyway, the first thing they're going to say is, okay. First of all, that proves what? That it's the Mishmar Yotzei. Why? When does Shemitah Ksafim kick in? As soon as it ends, which is at night. Who's in charge at night? The Mishmar Yotzei, because they switch Mishmarot in the daytime. So therefore, it must be the Mishmar Yotzei, because if Shemitah Ksafim happens the same time as the Yovel, lands kick in, it must be that it happens right at night. At night already, we're talking about the old Mishmar. And that's how he proves it. But right now he's going to say there's a bit of a problem. This said, Echad Yovel, Echad Shemitah, Mishamtin Ke'echad. But it says, Yovel is Bizchleyaton, Shemitah B'Safa. It sounds like there's a difference, though. In other words, first they say they're the same, and then they say they're different. So Adraba, Mishum Hachihava. What do you mean? It's because, not Ela, but... it's because Yovel is b'tchilatan, Shemitah is b'sofa. That's why. Okay? So what do they answer? Ema mipnei sheYovel. Yeah, change the word there. It shouldn't be aval. It should be mipnei. Okay. So now, bishlama shvi'i b'sofa. We understand Shemitah happens at the end of the year. Why? Dichtiv. Miketz sheva shanim ta'aseh Shemitah. Okay? It says, at the miketz means at the end of the 7 years, that's when you have the Shemitah Ksafim. It should be Yom HaKippurim and not B'tchilato on Rosh Hashanah. D'chtiv, B'yom HaKippurim tavir shofar b'chol artzachem. And then it says, right, B'shavi shalachu zato. So what do they answer? Hamane, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. In fact, this is Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Shita, Damar, Merosh Hashanah hu dechal Yovel. He holds that even though it says you're supposed to blow the shofar on Yom HaKippurim, already the land goes back to the original owner starting Rosh Hashanah. Okay, there's this debate about whether it's Rosh Hashanah of the Yovel year that everything happens or Yom Kippur. So you'd have to say this bright to follows Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Shama Chizkia bar Biluta. Okay, now, going backwards, we have to go back to Rav Chia bar Avin, at the bottom of the previous page, who said, Hichrim, in the Brahma of the previous Amud, Hichrim mitatuli, no, it's not on the Kohen Shiyurtseh, but if it's a field, it goes to the Kohen Shiboto Mishmar. So he heard the following statement. Ve'azal Amar Kamed Rav Yavau. And he went in front of Rav Yavau and said like this, Ve'lekush mitatulin lekarkaot. But why don't we make a hekesh of mitatulin to karka, like we said before? Remember I said we get back to this. Rabbi Yehuda made this hekesh from Metaltzin to Karkaot. So why don't we do the same thing? Just like Karka has to go to the coin that's in the Mishmar at that time, shouldn't Metaltzin be the same because of the hekesh? Because it says Mikol Asher Lo and it says Misteach Huzato, so we should make a hekesh. So what do they answer? He answers him, what do you mean? Lav Tanahi, isn't the Machloket Tanaim? Tika de Makish, Vika de Lo Makish. And this must hold, he must hold like Kiman Damar Lo Makshinan. Okay, remember, that was the whole Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Do you make this Hekesh or not? So he must hold like Rabbi Shimon, who does it make the Hekesh? Which also holds like Rebbe, who also distinguished between Karka and Metaltalin. Okay. New Mishnah, and we'll end with this Mishnah. Chermei Kohanim Ein Lahem Pidyon, Elanot Nim Lekohanim Kitruma. Okay, if you make a cherem to the Kohanim, you can't redeem them. You have to give them to the Kohanim as a gift, like Truma. Rabbi Yehuda, right? No one ever thinks you can redeem Truma. Of course you can't redeem Truma. They have a Kedusha to them, right? The Kedusha never leaves Truma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer. Here comes our machloka we've mentioned before. Stam charamim lebeda kabayim. If you give something stam and you don't say whether it's cherem la Hashem or cherem la Kohanim, you just say cherem, it goes to beda kabayim, to the Beit HaMikdash. Shenemar, ko cherem kodesh kodeshim ula Hashem. Vechachamim omrim, stam charamim lakonim. Shenemar, kistea cherem lakohen tia chuzato. Because it says, like a stay cherem that goes to the Kohen. So you have one pasuk that says la Hashem, one pasuk that says to the Kohen. So each one sides with a different pasuk. So, chachamim, who say it goes to the Kohen, a stam cherem, im kain, lama neemar, ko cherem kodesh kodeshim ula Hashem. What's that coming to teach you? A different halacha, which is halacha we're now going to discuss till the end of the Mishnah. Shechal al kodshe kodshim ba'al kodshim kalim. When it says, kol cherem kodesh kodeshim ula Hashem, it means to tell you not that each cherem is kodesh kodeshim to Hashem. It means a cherem can be said even on kodshe kodshim. Meaning, if you have an animal you already designated for a sacrifice, and then you said, I'm giving this animal as cherem, you have to not only sacrifice that animal, as you promised, but you also additionally have to give its value is cheren. Okay? That's what it means, kodesh kodeshim u'lashem. It's a reference to kodesh kodeshim, and not only kodesh kodeshim, but even kodeshim kalim, obviously. So, now we're going to explain this a little bit. Machrim adam et kodeshav. One can be machrim, his things that are already sanctified. Right? Generally say, ein kedusha chal al kedusha. But here we say it works. Bein kodesh kodeshim, bein kodeshim kalim. Now it depends how you designated that animal. Remember, there's different ways. You could designate an animal where you say, hare alai, to bring an animal, and then you separated an animal. Or you could say, hare zo. This is going to the Beit HaMikdash. What's the difference, right? The first one, hare alai, is a neder, where you're promising that yourself you're going to do it. If, let's say, you designate an animal and the animal dies, what do you have to do? It's called your chayav ba'achrayut. You have to bring a different animal instead because you took it upon yourself. If you say hare zo and the animal dies, you don't have to. So, here's our distinction. Im nadar, if you took a neder and you said, I'm going to bring this animal, but you said, hare alai, it's on me, and then you designate the animal, and then you say, I'm giving this animal cherem, well, how much is that animal worth? Its full value, because no tame demand. You have to give its full value, because if something were to happen to that animal, you'd have to give a whole new animal in its stead. So that animal is worth its full value. But im nidava, you'll understand once we make the comparison. If it's a nidava and you said hare zo, if something were to happen to the animal, you're not responsible for it, okay? Therefore, notena tovatam. You don't actually have to give its whole value because the animal isn't actually worth so much. Because if the animal dies, you don't actually have to bring it. So therefore, when you committed to bringing this animal as a cherem, the animal itself is not worth so much. Because if something were to happen to it, you wouldn't have to replace it with another whole animal. So what would be the value? So here they are going to explain. Shor ze ola. Let's say you said, this shor is for a korban ola. Omdin, we evaluate, kama adam rotze li tein b'shor ze lahaloto ola. Afalpi sheino rashai, which really means afalpi sheino chayav. We're going to explain. Some people even have a different gear, so it says afalpi sheino chayav. Okay, what does that mean? If I say I'm going to give this animal, and then the animal dies, I don't have to give another animal. However, I did say I wanted to bring something as a gift to God. So theoretically, what's the likelihood that I'm going to bring, that I'm going to replace that animal? In the case of a neder, it's 100% I'm going to replace it. I have to replace it. Therefore, the animal's worth its full value. But in this case, I don't actually have to replace it. However, since I really wanted to give a gift to God, the question is, what's the cheapest shore, like the least money that if I saw a shore for really cheap, I'd say, you know what, it's true I already put out the money for this animal and I lost my money, but you know what, this shore is so cheap, I'll bring this in its place. Even though I'm not chayav, even though I don't have to replace the animal, if I would see a really, a shore for X amount of money, that's the amount of money I would anyway replace it, that's the amount I have to give for chayav. Okay? Even if it doesn't get lost, right? In other words, let's say I would sacrifice that animal. It's a matter of what that animal is valued at. The last case is going to be b'chor. Bein tam, bein balmum. What happens to the b'chor? You have to give it to the kohen. Machrimi moto. Let's say you're machrim. Now again, it doesn't belong to you to be machrim. It belongs to the kohen. B'ketzad podi moto. So now, what do you do? How do you give its value? Omdim. Right, these are all cases, by the way, even though we said you can't be podeh cherem, in these cases you would have to, because you don't actually own the item, but you do own the item enough, right? You own, either in the first case, you own full rights, right? You own the full value of the animal because you'll have to replace it. In the Deva case, you don't really own the animal at all, but you do, you would theoretically give more in its stead. And the Bechor, what aspect you own of it, this goes back to something we've seen before about Truma and other Matno Kuna. Omdim kama adam rotze litein bebechor ze litno leben bito leben achoto. If someone offered you money, theoretically, not a Kohen's not allowed to do this, but a Yisrael can offer you money and say, I'll give you a small amount of money, or whatever amount of money it is, if you give this Truma to my grandson who's a Kohen. How would your grandson be a Kohen? Ben Bito, right? My daughter's not a Kohen, I'm a Yisrael. She's married to a Kohen. If you give this to my grandson, I'll give you some money for it. That we call Tovat Hana'ah. That's the value of this Bechor to this random Yisrael. That's what. And if he said, I'm Machrim, this Bechor, that's the value that he would have to pay to the Beit HaMikdash. So we evaluate what that is. Again, that would fluctuate depending on who, what, time, all sorts of things. That's it. Okay.